What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio, where ancient wisdom meets modern well-being, and we explore what it really means to live consciously in a changing world. I'm Jarvis Smith. I hope you're having a wonderful Monday today. It's a bit blustery in Yorkshire. I was down at in Brighton over the weekend, which was lovely. I actually set foot on a beach with a bit of sun shining. It was an extraordinary day, so that was nice. So today's conversation, it feels urgent. I've got two fantastic guests, but I just want to lay some context. So in 2015, Pope Francis released Laudato Si, which is a calling on humanity to care for our common home. And in 2023, he followed with Laudate Diem, a stark, uncompromising message that we are running out of time. And now, in 2025, the Laudato Si Research Institute at the University of Oxford has released Laudate Diem, a last call for the planet. It's a theological, moral, and scientific wake-up call. Today, I'm joined by two extraordinary guests, Father Jostrom Isaac Kurithadam, I hope I pronounced that correctly, known to many as Father Josh, which is much easier for my mouth to say. He's a philosopher, a former Vatican coordinator for ecology and creation, and author of the Laudate Deum, A Last Call for the Planet, and the globally translated 10 Green Commandments of Laudato Si, which we're going to hear more about soon. And also with him, we have Jacqueline Miller. She is the founder of Partnerships for Change, a UN-affiliated organization working across extreme poverty zones from Liberia to India, advancing mental health, climate-smart nutrition, women's empowerment, and distributing the 10 Green Commandments globally. And this is not just a climate conversation. This is about moral responsibility, ecological sin, and what it means to be fully human at this moment in history. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Beautiful introductions.
Oh, well, it's beautiful to have you. I know, Jacqueline, you are in the very early hours of the morning there. So thank you for, as you said quite rightly, there's never a wrong time to give a message of mm-hmm. hope and importance, right? So we appreciate you for that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So, Father Josh, for listeners who may not know, what is Laudate Diem? And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yeah. My Latin is a little bit rusty, to say the least. And why is it being described as a last call? Give us some context, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Jarvis. Good afternoon to everyone from English weather in Rome. You know, the sky is a bit overcast today. Otherwise, it's sunny these days. And delighted to join you in the company of Jarvis and Jackie Miller. Laudate Deum was a document that Pope Francis published in 2023, as Jarvis said, 8 years after Laudato Si. And it's, you know, the tone is quite different. Laudato Si is joyful, it's contemplative, it's a solid document. Laudate Deum is on the climate crisis, and as we termed it, it is a last call for the planet. Because right at the very beginning of Laudato Deum, Pope Francis says, Earth, our common home, is reaching a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
And Laudato Deum was written by Pope Francis just, you know, a couple of months before the COP climate meeting in Dubai, where he was invited. He didn't go because he thought people were not sincere enough and nothing was much was being done at the international level. So he gave us a very, very strong warning. And we at the Vatican and in Rome, we thought Laudato Deum did not receive the attention it deserved. Laudato Si was very warmly embraced and, you know, it made an impact. Whereas Laudato Deum, I think also for the very starkness of the message for Francis, as he, as you know, he was always very direct. He didn't mince words. He said, come on, sisters and brothers, let's wake up. Our common home is in a very bad shape. And as you anticipated, it's not just a physical, scientific problem. It's an ethical problem because he saw our poor brothers and sisters suffering around the world. He knew of the Amazon. He went around the world and he was very well informed. So he knew the poor were suffering. And the third and last thing is, I think he understood it is a theological problem. Being Pope, you know, representing, you know, being a very important spiritual leader, mm-hmm. he realized that we are spoiling God's creation. And there I salute him. He had the courage to speak up, to defend the earth, to defend the poor, to defend God's creation. So that is the context of Laudato Deum.
Thank you very much. Beautifully laid out. And I remember that moment significantly because, as you know, I've been involved in sustainability and, you know, being a champion for the messaging for, you know, nearly 17 years now, which is a long time. And I do remember that moment. And it was really the first real impactful moment where a world leader with such a significant reach had actually called this a crisis. And I remember the term, there was a term, ecological sin, that was used, which, you know, as you hear that, it makes you question yourself, that's for sure. But just tell us a little bit about that. It's a profound phrase. What does it actually mean? And who is accountable?
Thank you, George. It's a brilliant question. If I might just say a word also on the climate crisis, because as you said, you know, Pope Francis was one of the first persons to speak of climate change as climate crisis. And having worked at the Vatican, we sort of managed to, you know, convince him to use this phrase already in 2020, you know, interestingly, while he was meeting with oil company executives and, you know, the world of finance from BlackRock, Larry Frank was there at the Vatican. And in that meeting, for the first time, he told everyone, it's not just climate change, it is climate crisis, climate emergency. And from that time, he has consistently used the word climate crisis. So even Laudato Deum, the subtitle is on the climate crisis. So calling a thing by name, I think, was very courageous of him. Like, you know. So coming to the question of ecological sin, being a spiritual leader, he thought that, you know, as I said, it's also we are destroying God's creation. But then Pope Francis, already in Laudato Si, he proposed this integral, holistic, comprehensive approach. In Laudato Si, paragraph 66, he says that the human life, our life, exists in a web of relationships with God, with our neighbor, and with earth itself. And when these relationships are broken, when they are ruptured, this is a sin against God, against my neighbor, my sister or brother, and against Mother Earth. You know, that is a very holistic way of understanding sin, because most believers, we are very narrowly restricted sin to me and my God, a very private thing. Last 20 or 30 years, we have been aware of the social structures of sin. We speak of injustice, so we are also aware of how we are causing damage, causing harm our sisters and brothers. But Pope Francis goes deeper. He says, also against Mother Earth, also because all are connected. When I cause climate change, taking a private jet in a climate crisis, then I am maybe causing harm to somebody in Bangladesh who has to suffer the floods. So it is climate goes awry, you know, floods and droughts, and so earth suffers. My community in Bangladesh suffers. And I think Creator weeps when God created earth for us to dwell in as our common home. And when this, when living, you know, when species die, when creatures go extinct, I think the Creator weeps. So it's also a sin against God. So I think it's a sin understood in a very holistic sense, against God, against our neighbor, and against Mother Earth itself.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's kind of framed as a rupture of relationship, isn't it? A relationship,
yeah.
Firstly with ourselves, secondly with each other, and thirdly with nature. I'm glad you addressed that. Thank you. Let's just talk about, because I'd like to bring Jackie in, but before we do, let's just talk about the 10 Green Commandments. Now, we all know about the 10 Commandments. You know, these 10 kind of life rules. And therefore, that brings you nicely into where sin comes in. But how do the 10 Green Commandments, how does that differ? Maybe you could talk a little bit about them. And you've reached over, I mean, they've gone out in over the 24 languages, I understand, which is obviously a lot of different people that this has spread to. If you could just distill those commandments for us into one kind of core principle, just so our listeners can get a taste of it, that would be wonderful.
Thank you, Jari. It's very beautiful question. You know, I'm smiling because 10 Commandments, the idea came in the study where I'm now, where I, in the evening, I sit on the floor and pray. When I pray, I sit on the floor, on the ground, in touch with the Mother Earth. And behind me, there is the Milky Way. And and one point is written, you are here. You know, we are like 27,000 light years from the center of our galaxy. You know? And the universe is like has a diameter of 93 billion light years. So we are just a very small, insignificant, tiny point. But we are there. And Earth is special because it's the only place, as far as we know in cosmology, where life is possible. So a few weeks before that, Laudato Si had come out, and the president of our university asked me, Father Josh, you deal with ecology. Can you write an article or a book on Laudato Si? People want to learn about this encyclical. So I sat down that evening for prayer, and two ideas came to my mind. One, the title. What title to give to this book? I call it the 10 Green Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And the second idea was, you know, how to begin. And I thought of St. Francis of Assisi, you know, when Francis was very young, in 1206, he had left his home. He was very discouraged with many things. And he walked into a chapel, which was falling into pieces in ruins. And he looked at the crucified, at the crucifix. And he heard a voice three times, Francis, go and repair my home, which, as you see, is falling into ruin. So he thought it was a chapel. So he began to repair it. And later on, people understood through Francis, God was rebuilding the church, you know, of that time. Now he said, 8 centuries come later, comes another Francis. And God is asking him to rebuild our home, not just the church, but the entire planet.
Yeah.
So that's how I begin the 10 Green Commandments, you know. The idea was to, you know, Laudato Si is like 240 paragraphs. It's a solid, huge document. So how to summarize all that? How to make it, you know, how to present all this in an attractive way to people? So that's the reason I chose the title, the 10 Green Commandments, following the methodology of Pope Francis, seeing, judging, acting, responding. So the first two Green Commandments is, what is the problem? So the first two Green Commandments is, it's the cry of the earth, it's the cry of the poor. Next three are judging. The third Green Commandment is, earth is God's creation. It's not a spiritual, religious reality. The fourth Green Commandment is, we have sinned against. So all the ecological sin, I elaborate there, that to destroy God's creation is sin, but in a very holistic sense. And the fifth Green Commandment is, let's find out the roots of the problem, that, you know, let's diagnose how did we reach here? The root causes, so the modern mechanistic Weltbild and Descartes and Heidegger and, you know, all that's part of it. The last five Green Commandments are what can we do? The sixth one is let's embrace integral ecology. Everything is interrelated. Everything is interdependent. Seventh one is lines of action, a new politics, new economics that we need. Politics as search for the common good. Economics as going back to Aristotle. The how to manage our common home, oikos nomos, managing our common home. And the eighth and the ninth, the Green Commandments is education. We need to educate towards caring for our common home. Ninth one is we need a spirituality. You know, unless we see Earth as God's creation, something beautiful, something to be contemplated, cum templum in Latin, it's seeing it as a temple in which we are. So in a temple, we don't desecrate the temple. We behave very well in the temple with reverence, with, you know, respect, with restraint, and also with love and, you know, reverence, because it's temple. So we need a spirituality. And the last Green Commandment is we need to cultivate ecological virtues. Seven ecological virtues, beginning with humility, praise, gratitude, work, sobriety, simplicity, and the last one, humility, you know. So these are the ecological virtues that we need to cultivate. So these are the 10 Green Commandments. And as you said, I'm so happy that we have reached like 38 languages as of now. So it is, you know, it's spreading, and we are from Japan, China, the Philippines, in Nepal, in Sri Lanka, in India, and several languages coming to is done also in Arabic language. Then Swahili and another 10 languages or so in Africa, Polish and then Spanish and French and English only 2-3. So praise be to God. And, you know, we have the idea is to reach as many people as possible with this message of the 10 Green Commandments.
Absolutely brilliant. I love it. I love it. And you know, I really, really connect with those with those commandments as well. And I think you're right in a sense that, you know, if people can firstly, you know, deal with the fact that there is a problem and assess how that problem's come about and then go through those motions, that's the starting point. I'd like to bring you in, Jackie, here, because clearly, you know, the work that you do with your organization, having done a little bit of digging around on you, is very philanthropic. It works with, you know, poverty and, you know, cultures and peoples that are not perhaps in a position to be able to fend for themselves. So you go out and help that. But your organization's also linked to the UN. So you clearly have not only you're helping people on the ground, but you also have very strong connections with, you know, the leaders and the decision makers. So just give us a little bit of background on the organization that you represent and you head, and then we can talk about how you got involved with the 10 Green Commandments.
Great. Well, thank you, Jarvis. You are fabulous and you do such a great job. Thank you for being on this topic, and we need you. We need your voice louder and clear for sure.
You've got me.
great. So, yes, well, thank you. Partnerships for Change, since the early 90s, we have been dedicated to accelerating social and economic transformation. What we do is we do a great deal of crisis intervention, rapid response work in areas due to flash floods, due to awful hurricanes or volcanoes or earthquakes, things that are directly related to the cry of the earth and this environmental crisis that we're in. Having done so much of rescue, response, getting people out of harm's way, we just saw that this is really a growing problem, and it's really not, all these issues are not caused by humans. So we have been doing work in Afghanistan, for example, that was caused by humans, but also a lot of work with folks in throughout Africa. We have been so blessed because we were working on a film in Peru called River of Gold about the mercury poisoning due to gold mining, illicit gold mining. And The Holy Father, Pope Francis, was going to Peru for the first time, and they were going to areas in remote places in the Amazon where people hadn't been, particularly His Holiness. And they were interested in the film because they wanted to see where this area was that Pope Francis was going to. So they invited Sarah Dupont, who produced this film, River of Gold, to the Vatican so they could screen the film. And I was invited to come along, and I did so just because I'm a nice person. No, it was the trip of a lifetime. And
Yes.
who did we meet? The first person was Father Josh, and that changed all of our lives. He is
Nice.
pure love. He is such an inspiration and
Yep.
such a verbal and emotional force behind the Laudato Si, the Laudato Deum, the Ten Green Commandments. And from that moment on, we've been very blessed to work with Father Josh. And through Partnerships for Change and our connections with the United Nations, we, thanks to Father Josh, were invited to participate in a gathering between with the United Nations at the United Nations Environmental Program in Nairobi, Kenya, with the Laudato Si, honoring the fourth annual year of the Laudato Si in Kenya. And it was incredible. And we learned so much there. And one of the greatest things, they had a group from India there, Brahma Kumaris, a spiritual sect, and they would chant over their crops. And the sound of the chanting and the voices and the message that they were chanting increased their crop yields incredibly. And that led us to the power of sound in nature. Just the sheer power of birds chirping change everything. So, thank you. I hope that
No,
wasn't
that's
too long.
no, it's absolutely wonderful. And I love that you've taken it into. I mean, it's so funny you mentioned Brahma Kumaris because when I was 17 in search of something, I ended up walking in through the doors of the Brahma Kumaris shopfront in Wembley Park, which is one of their very first places that they opened up in England out of India. And now I work very, very closely with Sister Jenna, you know, all these years later, who's one of the spiritual leaders there with Daddy Yankee and Sister Janti. So and they anyway, I digress. I could go on about that, but it's wonderful because this is the time, isn't it, where religion and all the different spiritual places that people, you know, turn up, whatever that religion is. This climate crisis really breaks through all of those, I don't know what you call them, boundaries, perhaps, you know, maybe. I mean, we see that a lot of wars are based on religion, and conflicts in religion. And actually, the only thing that I can see that is going to unite us is this way that humans deal with this, you know, emergency on planet Earth, which is the climate crisis. So it's wonderful. And I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, using sound and song, and how that, how nature is listening to that and feeling that vibration. Because my sense is, and I'd love to ask you more about this, Jackie, is that because we've lost our way, that disconnection with nature, and because many, I'm talking about the masses, perhaps not us or many people listening, but you know, the average person walking down the high street or in a poverty-stricken country who's thinking about day-to-day issues and not the bigger picture, because we've lost our way and we've lost that disconnection with nature, if we are collectively able to remember the, I call them the indigenous ways or the sacred ways or the spiritual ways, where, for example, there is proven fact that if you sing to a dirty glass of water or say a prayer to a dirty glass of water, it will instantly change its structure into a beautiful structure. There's factual information. So my question to you is because I know you'll truly understand this, is how far away are we from bringing people back together to remember that perhaps this is an opportunity for us to reunite and come back into union from the work that you're doing on the ground with the organization?
Well, I will tell you, some days we feel like it's so far away, and other days We're almost there. So when I say almost there, and what is the there? We are really looking at quickly accelerating the awareness of the power of sound and healing. And to do so, there are some major wonderful organizations now that we're helping to financially catalyze so that they can really have a bigger voice. We are close to science behind the power of that insects make, the power that hummingbirds and birds make, and certain birds do certain things, and the power of all those beautiful sounds of nature, oceans, water, et cetera, and how it all plays effect. The other area that we're very interested in is interspecies communication. And one thing that we were so blessed because of Father Josh to be present at the Vatican when Pope Francis invited the indigenous from the Amazon to the Vatican, and he asked for their forgiveness for all the crimes of the church against the indigenous, against the earth, and also by suppressing their ancient wisdom that we have really harmed our health and our future. So, and then the Father, Pope Francis went out into the garden with Father Josh and the indigenous, and they planted a tree together in the Vatican garden. It was so beautiful. So I think these kinds of efforts that have been so monumental that has a ripple effect. And then we also need your incredible work, Jarvis, to spread the word because the media is the most powerful weapon we have. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Jarvis, for doing what you do. And then we really feel that some key financial contributors have donated millions and millions of dollars just within the last 6 months to accelerate the ability to speak and communicate directly with the whales, with the birds, and with the trees. You can see the scientists out there tapping leaves of trees and taking the incredible vibrational energy and then transmitting that into their vast technology now. And they're able to decipher some of the areas. And we were just with a sound expert yesterday named David Gibson, and he's shown how playing certain sounds out in the water to the whales come running or swimming, I should say. And then even in fields, they play music and the cows and the animals come to hear. So it's something that we can really attract animals, but also it's such a wonderful way to heal and to help humanity by that sound. It's just a matter of reaching out. So thank you for that wonderful question. That's one of our
No, I love
favorite
it.
topics.
I love it. I love it. And we're going to go a little bit deeper into that, but we do have to very quickly go to a commercial break. So we'll do that. Don't go away, everybody. We're going to come back and talk to Father Josh and Jackie about what's happening now, how can we get involved, and a lot more. We'll see you back here shortly.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. Jackie, just building on the work that you do, and Father Josh, I definitely want to bring you in after this question so I can ask the two of you. But in communities that are facing extreme poverty, you know, climate isn't abstract, particularly in the global south, although we're seeing it everywhere now. It's survival, actually. What are you seeing on the ground that, let's say, policymakers in wealthy countries need to understand?
Who would you like to answer?
Well,
that?
Jackie, you start. Oh, okay. You start. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, having done a lot of meetings with the African Union in Ethiopia, with the United Nations, both in New York, et cetera, and attended numerous COPs. In fact, we were at the first Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. So it has been a very long process and very interesting to see how the global north totally impacts the global south. And yeah, you are right on by asking this question, because we really need a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And that is the beauty of Father Josh and the work that he's doing with the ecological sin efforts, his new book, The Ten Green Commandments, and the Laudato Si and the Laudato Diem. And we really see that influences the global north, if you will. Yeah. Those books, those readings, because it's really about waking them up and showing them their impact. I it is not necessarily out of intent. It's basically that they are ignorant, they don't know any better, and they're capitalized by the capitalists.
Yeah.
So that is, it's sadly usually all about money and greed, and that's what we're finding right now, with particularly in the gold mining and illicit gold mining area. And I really know that one area is that people are affected when it affects their families, when their little son gets cancer because of the environment. Mm-hmm. And their personal experience that wake people up. I am very called to this work. I'm a 5-time cancer survivor, and
wow.
I know the importance of healthy living, of not having glyphosate and chemicals and PFAS, et cetera, around you. And we are creating to the cancer epidemic as well. So I think it's an evolution, it's education, it's reinforcement, it's sharing, it's telling people time and again. You know, we have done, because of Father Josh, very creative media. Yeah. Work in that we were able to, when Pope Francis came to the United States in early on in 2015, we were able to take the videos and do a lot of media, big billboards when he came to Washington, D.C. And we ran these ads, voice ads on Fox and all the climate deniers' websites and radio spots and television shows. So they would break to a commercial just like Johan just did for us here.
Yes.
And
yes,
it would play a station about something about Pope Francis and Laudato Si and the poisoning the earth and fouling our nest. And then it would go back to their commercial. And they'd be talking about, oh, the Pope shouldn't be talking about the environment. He's not a scientist. Well, he hasn't had a degree in chemistry, please. So, yeah. We just have had fun like that. But all kidding aside, you're right, Jarvis. We really need to accelerate this and get things going. And it's about word of mouth and building community. When we join together and we're on the side of the helpers and we're helping, that's where our sanity lies. And that's also the future of Earth and humanity. And tying in the spiritual leaders, the work that Father Josh is doing is so critical because he goes to all the different religions, all the different sects. And with this book being in so many languages, we have the opportunity to really reach people far and wide. Another area is that we've been working in the refugee camps, so many climate refugees. Well, we've been able to get into the refugee camps with mental health apps and it is a mental health breakdown. And our mental health apps are able to go in and restore emotional health. There's no health without mental health. And without that, we really can't go forward and embrace the birds and the bees and the animals and nature without mental health. So, yes, I agree that we have a lot of work to do, and we definitely need to work at the uber rich because that's where the problems start.
They're causing a lot of the problems with all these commercial industries that are not thinking about people, just about bottom line. Thank you for that, Father Josh. You've done a lot of work with young people over the years, and I think you've used the term, if I remember this correctly, how do we cultivate awe and wonder, and not just fear, which is a lot of that around at the moment. Based on what Jacqueline is talking about, and your sense of working with young people, how do we bring together those that are at the top that are causing a lot of the issues with this capitalist approach, and then you've got these young people that are growing into a society that doesn't look very hopeful right now in the grand scheme of things. How do we get young people to connect with awe and wonder in this time?
No, thank you, Jarvis. Brilliant question, and so happy to carry on the conversation of Jackie, of involving people. You asked me precisely about young people today. I had classes at the Sri Lankan University this morning, and after finishing the class, I had to go to an office. And on the way, I saw an almond tree in full blossom, and literally, I just stood there a few seconds. And someone who came after me said, "Father Josh, what a beautiful tree!" And I think that's what we forget to do. We need to recover the wonder. I teach cosmology, and when we look at how Earth was shaped over 4.5 billion years, it was like any other planet or like the lightless moon. But over billions and millions of years, we believe God, or this planet was shaped to become a home for life. So I think it's very important to recover this sense of beauty, because Dostoevsky who said, "Beauty will save the world." Because unless we appreciate something, every Sunday we do a Laudato Si creation mass, and where one of the things we do is we just walk around creation, like Saint Francis of Assisi, touch, see, hear, smell, then we come back and we just sing God's praises, And I think it's so important to recover that. Jackie mentioned indigenous communities. They still live in this wonder. Our children, our youth, they still do that. But the other side of the question is, again, what we call climate anxiety. Today, many youth, if I'm correct, nearly a quarter of youth in the US suffer from this. And also in Europe, elsewhere, they are seeing that the political leadership is nowhere matching the urgency. The problem is, yesterday I was telling a group of students that right now 0.8% of the land surface is so hot it's unlivable. 0.8%. If you don't do anything by 2070, 19% of global land surface will be so hot. Almost that's one fifth of the planet. The youth are seeing it year after year, and they see these forecasts and these predictions. So we need to, how to address that. And that's where we can all come together.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. I think this is a perfect moment, Father Joshua. As you know, I always ask my guests to play a song that is a soundtrack to either their life's work or, linked to the subject matter. You've chosen, I think this is the perfect moment to play the song that you've chosen. You've chosen For the Beauty of the Earth by John Ritter. Just tell us why you've chosen this song.
Okay, now since you are talking, it was from the UK. It was in 2007. I gave a summer program on caring for the earth. And I happened to discover this song and I fell in love with it. But I prepared a PowerPoint presentation based on that song. And from that time, it's one of my favorite songs.
Well, I'm really enjoying, looking forward to listening to this. Thank you. So this is Father Josh's favourite song. After the song, we'll go straight to a commercial break and we'll come back and catch up with Jacqueline and Father Josh again. So enjoy this as much as we will.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm here with Father Josh and Jacqueline Miller. We're talking about just, you know, the whole movement around this climate crisis, how we can be better people and reconnect with nature and love her like she loves us. She's provided everything that we've ever required, whether it's business or for health. She's provided it all. How have we lost that connection? Father Josh, thank you for playing that beautiful song. I'd love to ask you this. If Pope Francis were sitting here right now and he was speaking to global business leaders, what do you believe he would be saying today?
Yeah, I think he would say, first of all, see Earth as our home. You know, that to see subtitle is on care for our common home. I think our problem is that we are still seeing it as environment, something outside.
Separate.
Business people and the economists see it as, you know, a storehouse of resources, you know, for exploitation, for use, to make money, to make profit. We are not seeing it as our home. If I see it as my, you know, all of us, after work, we get back home. You know, that's the most intimate place. You know, and Earth is our common home. And I think unless and until we see it as our home, we won't be, you know, grasped. We won't be taken by this urgency. You know, the second thing I would say, he will tell us, see the entire human biotic community as a family. You know, we are, people could be in Ghana, people could be in Ecuador, but we are all sisters and brothers. When someone there suffers, I suffer. And not just humans, as Jackie so beautifully said, the biotic community. And I quoted a couple of times St. Francis of Assisi, who would sing with birds and, you know, with butterflies and all our saints. You know, we have the Celtic monks in Ireland and, you know, so many. It's something that up to the modernity, we had that tradition. Also in other religions, I think of Rabindranath Tagore in Hinduism. He was walking one day in the park and he was chattering to himself. And at one moment he said to himself, "Be silent, my soul. These trees are prayers," you know. And he was praying, rejoicing with creation. So we need to really realize that we are one community, we are one family, not just as humans alone, but with the entire biotic community in a common home. Then we will protect our common family, then we will protect our common home. And we need everyone to get involved in this, not just scientists, not just politicians, but everyone. Because when my house catches fire, I don't wait for these experts to come. I will jump and everyone I'll invite to join me. So when our house is on fire, how can we sit back? You know, we need everyone. We need a global grassroots movement from below. Everyone chipping in. And I think only that can really, we are already in the 11th hour. As someone wrote to me yesterday on this book, last call could also become the final call. Time is running out. But then the hope is that, and we are seeing it around the world, I should say, one of the beautiful things I remember working at the Vatican, I think of communities in the Philippines, in Brazil, in India, Jackie mentioned the beautiful conference we had in Kenya, 10 people, thousands of them coming together, villages and women and other religions. So there is a movement ready to, you know, building up, but it's not sufficient. So we need to grow, and we are so grateful to you, Jarvis and Johan, because we have the message. Pope Francis had the message, which he passed on to us. We want to reach people, and only you people, the media people, can help us to reach this message, reach the people, so that the people's grassroots movement can begin. And I think of Mahatma Gandhi, I think of Nelson Mandela, who all began with small groups.
Yeah.
Only if we are together, all those who are listening to us, you know, and those who listen to us afterwards, those who will be reading your magazine, that all from all over the world, it doesn't matter which religion, which faith, or if you believe in God or not, but Earth is our common home, something that we share. And let us come together. Let us come together.
Yeah, beautiful, beautifully said. I often say to people, you know, is this a climate crisis? So clearly, in this paradigm, of course it is. Or is it the biggest opportunity humanity has had to come back together? You know, so I love what you've said, and thank you for that. Jackie, would you believe we are literally running out of time? This show goes so quickly, and I want to get your song in. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can have a listen to the music that you've chosen, and then you can answer the question afterwards, because it will give you a little bit of time just to think about what you're going to say.
Thank you. But I knew question... I'd like to.
Oh, well, I like you too. If you had 1 minute in front of G20 leaders, what would you demand? So that's the question you're going to have a think about, okay? It's a tricky one, I know, because I'm sure there's a 100 things you'd demand. So we'll let you have more than one, okay? But I'd love to play your record so we don't miss your lovely song that you brought to us. So you've chosen a song called Don Bosco Lives On, Don Bosco Lives On by Salesian Music Ministry. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, yes. In honor of Father Josh and the beautiful Salesian University in Rome, that they are such incredible, so evolved and so not only spiritually evolved, but very much cosmically evolved. I will share that in great detail with you at another time, but phenomenal force for the environment.
Thanks to Don Bosco. Yeah,
and,
great.
And St. Francis.
Thank you for choosing this song and in honor to Father Josh and the Salesian music movement. Thank you. Enjoy.
Don Bosco lives on. A blessed sign for troubled times. Right through it all, we'll walk together. Leave your fears behind. Cause today, you'll make a brand new start. So tomorrow shining through. All the way from St. John Bosco's heart. It flows from me to you. Don Bosco lives on. Let's tell our friends to come along. We'll make some plans. We'll make a difference. Love will make us strong. Cause today, we'll make a brand new start. So tomorrow shining through. All the way from St. John Bosco's heart.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What a dancey tune. I wasn't expecting that at all. That's brilliant. You had me bopping away. So Jackie, this is your question. You've got a minute to speak to G20 leaders. What are you going to demand?
Okay, I will demand that they stop treating the planet as an infinite resource dump and that they'll start pricing carbon emissions at their true societal cost and that they will begin to embrace the earth and the future of their children.
Wow, I love it. You can't deny that. That's absolutely. When are you going to be our next global world leader? That would be good. How do we vote for you?
Well, I will tell you that they will change. They must change. And by reading and spending time with Father Josh and reading the Ten Green Commandments and the Laudato Deum, as well as paying attention to the incredible work that you're doing, Jarvis, they will learn eventually. And they'll see the science and the proof of the interspecies communication that is so awakening that you can't deny seeing with your eyes and ears the power of communication between species. And there are so many groups that are really focusing on this right now, including Partnerships for Change. So we're there, and also it's a group getting groups together, but it's also the power of one person at a time. Mm. One person directly changing.
Absolutely brilliant. Jackie and Father Josh, you've been so brilliant. I must have you on the show again, because I feel like we've only really scratched the surface. But thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to everybody listening out there, I hope you've enjoyed them as much as I have.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Father Josh. Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you, Johan.
This has been one of those conversations that lands deeply. You know, Laudato Deum is not just a document, it's a mirror, a mirror asking us, are we in right relationship with the earth, with each other, with future generations? And thank you, Jacqueline Miller, for the extraordinary work of Partnerships for Change. Thank you, Father Josh, for reminding us that caring for our common home is not optional. It is a sacred responsibility. To our listeners, this isn't about politics, it's about conscience. If you've been moved today, share this conversation, start a discussion, read the book, feed a child, plant a tree, change a habit. Because as Pope Francis reminds us, everything is connected. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. And we shall see you and hear from you next week. Thank you very, very, very much indeed.